Rain drums idly on the roof of the Land Cruisers, and water streams down the windows. Bored, Lex writes her name in condensation on the glass. Tim adjusts the night vision goggles and then looks around. In shades of electronic green and black, Tim can see the second Land Cruiser behind them. He turns and looks towards bright green foliage and sections of the grid pattern of the fence. Lightning flashes.
1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000.
The thunder feels close. Tim blinks through the flashing lightning and scans the side of the road. Suddenly, he sees a claw grip the fence. Then, another. Regis sees it too. A look of panic washes on his face as he realizes the fences have lost power too. Regis swings open the door and flees, ducking his head in the rain. The powerless fence bangs down against the Land Cruiser, pressed by something unseen, then springs back up. The Tyrannosaurus chases Regis. They disappear down the road, into the rain, then... Tim and Lex are alone in the car now, staring at each other. Lex's eyes are wide in horror. Grant speaks through the handheld radio.
Tim, what's going on?
He's coming!
Tim!
He's coming! He's coming!
The Rex is coming back. Tim leans over the back seat and yanks Regis's door closed.
Get down, stay away from the windows, and be quiet.
The Tyrannosaur suddenly bounds forward and moves between the two cars. Lex watches wide-eyed. The Rex circles the front Land Cruiser, looking inside. It snaps its head down, shattering the windshield, jarring the kids, showering them in a rain of glass. The Rex moves to the back of the tour car and sinks its fangs into the spare tire and tears it away, lifting the rear of the car into the air. It thumps back down with a muddy splash. In the other car, Grant and Malcolm strain to see what's going on. The rain is coming down in squalls so heavy that Grant can't even see the front vehicle.
Tim! Tim, are you there?
We're okay. So far.
The wreck scratches itself, rocking the car. Through the sunroof, the large predatory eyes spot the kids' terrified faces. With stunning speed, the Rex smashes down the sunroof, creating a plastic bubble over the kids like a shield. The Rex lowers its whole head into the car, breath snorts, and its tongue slaps wetly on the plastic barrier. The Rex repeatedly pokes its head in, trying to get at the bubble to pull it away. But it fails. Frustrated, it attacks the car repeatedly, ramming its head. Tim and Lex bounce and roll, gasping, until the car rolls over. Mud oozes into the blown-out windows as the kids scramble higher up. Massive jaws thrust in and chomp the upholstery. The Rex gets its teeth around the side post and lifts the whole car into the air. The Rex tries to shake the kids towards its mouth. They struggle to hang on, but Lex falls through the side window and lands next to the Rex's huge clawed toes. She scrambles to her feet and runs away. Tim hangs on in the car, tilted high in the air. He can hear the sound of metal rending loudly. Suddenly, everything outside swings crazily, palm tree trunks moving sideways as the car is released into the air. The tops of the trees rush at him. Grant sticks his head out the window, trying to see in the rain. He blinks his eyes, unable to see. Obscured by the rain is Tim's car, stuck high in the tree, one wheel spinning. Grant ducks back into the car. Malcolm squints through the windshield.
What happened to the car? Could you see what happened to the car?
Through the rainy windshield, the Rex is coming towards them, head down, in attack mode.
You know, at times one can't help feeling that extinct animals should stay extinct.
I know just what you mean.
It's been a pleasure, Doctor.
Malcolm bolts into the rain towards the rest station. The Tyrannosaur sees him and leaps forward. Malcolm's feet splash in the mud as he runs. The Rex is closing quickly. Malcolm stumbles down the concrete ramp to the restrooms below. He reaches for the key on a chain to unlock the men's room door. Fumbling, he glances over his shoulder. The Rex ducks and charges forward. It lifts Malcolm off his feet and tosses him with stunning violence, smashing open the ladies' room door. Malcolm crashes into the stalls. The restroom's walls crumble under the weight of the Rex's charge, causing the water pipes to explode. By the car, Grant is about to run when the Tyrannosaur spins back towards him. The Tyrannosaur faces him and roars. Grant freezes by his open door. The Rex roars again. Grant presses his trembling hands against the door. Again, the Tyrannosaur roars, but does not attack. It begins to move away, then abruptly whips its head back. The black nostrils flare inches from Grant's face. The muscular jaws open and close. Somehow, Grant doesn't move. He begins working it out. The Rex can't see him if he doesn't move. Then, the big hind limb lifts up and crashes on the roof of the car, slides off, barely missing Grant, and blows the tire. Startled, the Rex delivers a mighty kick, and the Land Cruiser tumbles over. Grant falls backward down a hill along with it. He slides into mud and lies unconscious. Above on the road, the Rex roars triumphant and moves off. Hammond leans forward over the control panel intensely.
What do you mean you can't see what's happening in the park?
Nedry turned off the monitors in the park. We can't see a thing out there.
We're trying to fix it.
Wu pleads, sitting at Nedry's station.
Look, my kids are out there. There's a storm and they're stuck out there.
I know, Mr. Hammond, and I'm sure Muldoon will pick them up on his way back in. But Nedry's done something to the code. We need Nedry.
Nedry? When I get my hands on him...
Driving back, Nedry squints through the rainy windshield. He swerves to avoid a dinosaur on the road. The car skids, spins through a fence, and comes to a stop. Nedry looks out to see where he is. Nedry climbs out of the Jeep and goes to the front of the car to look at how bad it is. The front wheels are over a concrete embankment. He can see in the glare of the headlights that he's clearly stuck. He climbs down the embankment and looks back. Nedry hears a sound and quickly looks up. He stands frozen and exposed, drenched in the rain. He hears it once more. It's closer. He scrambles back up the incline and looks over his shoulder to see a Dilophosaur standing at the bottom of the embankment. Nedry slowly edges away. The Dilo's jaws puff and the hood flares out. Its neck snaps forward and it spits. Nedry is smacked on the shoulder by a dark, foaming glob. A second strike hits the headlamp. Disgusted, the truth dawns on him.
Jeez, spit.
Scrambling away, he reaches the car door and takes a final glance at the dinosaur. He gets hit right in the eyes. Nedry covers his face, twists, and bangs his head on the doorframe as he tries blindly to enter the car. The spitter stalks him. Nedry gropes his way desperately into the Jeep, but something unseen pulls him backward, out of the car. His fingernails claw the seat as he is pulled away into the jungle. Hammond glowers at Wu as computer code flashes by.
Well?
Without Nedry, it could take hours to fix this.
I don't have hours. My kids are out there. Dear God.
I'm sure Muldoon will pick them up any minute now. Probably has already.
Muldoon's Jeep bounds down a park road and comes across a fallen tree blocking the road. It looks much too big to move by hand. Ellie and Muldoon get out and begin to work a winch cable across the tree. Muldoon struggles amongst the leaves with Ellie, trying to pass the cable under the branches.
Ready! Heave! Ready? Heave!
Ellie loops the cable under the branches and swings it back.
Okay, got it.
They start back to the Jeep. At the T-Rex paddock, Lex stares up as Grant climbs the tree towards Tim's Land Cruiser, perched high in the branches. Inside the Land Cruiser, Tim lies against the passenger door, his face on the glass of the window. Tim rolls over groggy. His eyes open, and he stares down in horror. The ground is far below. He ducks back, and with a crack, the Land Cruiser noses over, tilting. Then, stops. Grant appears beneath the passenger window, hanging from branches below the car.
You okay?
Tim nods.
Good. We're gonna get you out of here, okay?
Tim nods.
Good. Now, nice and easy now, son. Well, let's open this door. Easy.
Tim eases forward. The car shifts. He tries the passenger door. The handle is jammed and bent. Grant signals him to try the rear door, past the seat. He moves slowly. The car lurches. Grant grabs the front door as a counterbalance, and the car stops its movement. Grant slowly lets go, still hanging from a branch. The car is balanced, but precarious. Tim moves to the rear door and lies against the glass. It's stuck, too. Grant appears below.
What's the matter?
I don't know. It's stuck and I can't.
Suddenly, he twists the door handle and the door opens outward, spilling him down into the expanse below. As Tim slides out, he grabs the door handle and hangs by one hand. The door swings like a hinge.
Timmy, be careful!
Lex looks upward, worried. Hanging beneath the car, Tim closes his eyes, annoyed to hear this advice, however well meant. Grant then pulls him over.
Easy now.
The car rises as Tim's weight releases. Branches creak, but the car holds stable. Then, ever so slightly, moves again.
Let's get out of here.
They climb down fast. Above them, the car slowly, slowly upends. The grill noses over, looking like a hungry metal mouth, pointing down. And it falls. Grant is one branch above Tim and lets go just as the grill smashes down onto the branch. Miraculously, it holds. They scramble down. Above, the branch cracks, wood splintering. The car moves again. Grant looks up.
Jump, jump!
They let go and fall, banging from limb to limb, grunting at each impact. The Land Cruiser crashes down after them. Tim lands hard, stunned. Grant falls beside him, grabs Tim, and rolls them away as the Land Cruiser smashes down. Grant staggers up, leaning against a tree, gasping. Lex comes up and takes his hand and hugs him.
I'm scared.
Me too, Lex.
They can hear crashing sounds in the jungle. In the control room, Arnold works to get the systems back on. The monitors flicker, but nothing.
You still can't see in the park?
Not yet, no. The systems are...
Restore the damn systems and get my kids back safe and sound.
Muldoon should be there by...
Muldoon should have been back here half an hour ago.
In the park, Muldoon and Ellie have managed to winch the tree aside just enough to break through to the clear road beyond.
Finally!
Muldoon accelerates. They arrive at the T-Rex paddock rest area. Muldoon looks at two trashed Land Cruisers. Ellie looks in horror.
What happened?
Looks like the Rex came over the fence. Over there. Attack the cars.
The electric fence?
Power's out.
Ellie looks into the one car.
There's nobody in this one. Maybe they got away.
They hear a groan, and Muldoon turns. He runs forward to the rest station, flashlights swinging. He stops, crouching over Malcolm, who is ashen, groaning, but alive. Muldoon shines the light down to Malcolm's legs and sees blood-soaked trousers.
Come on, Dr. Malcolm. Let's get you back.
He turns to Ellie.
Give me a hand. Gently.
You missed. One hell of an exciting tour.
With Ellie's help, Muldoon
Easy
sets
there.
Malcolm in the Jeep.
Easy.
The Rex sounds close.
We have to contact supply ship. The ship.
Muldoon turns to Ellie.
We better take Malcolm back. He's hurt badly. We'll find the others.
He tries reassuring her.
I know we will.
She looks desolate as she gets into the car.
Is that the Rex?
Yeah.
Why is he roaring like that?
She sees Muldoon hesitate as he starts the engine.
You can tell me.
Muldoon starts to drive away.
That's the sound it makes when it's hunting.
Deep in the jungle, Grant and the kids run. The roar is getting closer. Trees are shaking. Grant lifts Lex up into a tree and helps Tim, then climbs quickly as the roar of the T-Rex rushes past. Like standing next to a passing train, the wind blows strongly and then recedes. In the lobby of the lodge, Hammond is clearly upset as he speaks to Muldoon.
You shouldn't have come back without my grandchildren. You're the park ranger. They're your responsibility.
There's nothing more I can do until daylight.
What about the Tyrannosaur? You've got to get the Rex back into its paddock.
Our largest tranquilizer guns are fine for a dinosaur that weighs 4,000 or 5,000 pounds. But that full-grown Tyrannosaur weighs 8 tons. He probably wouldn't even feel it. We'll have to wait until we can call the mainland to obtain larger weapons.
In Malcolm's room, Ellie jabs a needle into Malcolm's arm and injects morphine. Malcolm sighs as he lays his head back on the bed. Hammond enters.
How is he?
He's holding, but he's a bit delirious.
I am nothing of the sort. I am utterly clear. Clearer than you are about the state of your park, I'd say.
The park is fine. This is a small glitch that will soon be fixed. You forget that what we're doing on this island is a truly noble pursuit.
Malcolm sits up, agitated. He points outside to the park.
That out there is what you consider to be a truly noble pursuit? You create new life forms about which you know nothing at all. You create them in short order, then expect a couple of paleontologists to come in and tell you how they should behave, so they can perform for you like carnival animals. You forget that they are alive, that they have an intelligence of their own.
He leans back.
Just because you made them, you don't own them. You can't control them or their destiny. You're not God.
Malcolm stares wildly at Hammond, then closes his eyes. Hammond looks to Ellie as she helps Malcolm relax back as the drug takes effect. In the control room, Arnold and Wu search through the computer code. Hammond enters behind them.
Nedry must have inserted some kind of lockout into the program code.
I think we'll have to shut down to clear the memory.
Hammond interrupts.
Do whatever it takes!
Wu and Arnold turn to Hammond.
We've never shut down the whole computer system before. Maybe all the systems will come back on startup, but maybe they won't. Neither of us is really a computer expert, and without an open phone line, we can't talk to anyone who is.
Damn it, my grandchildren are still out there, and those embryos Nedry stole are worth a fortune.
Okay, but we'll have to keep the system down for 30 seconds in order to clear all the memory. It's a big risk.
Arnold brings Hammond to the master switch. He waits, and then turns it off. The control room goes dark. All the monitors go out. In the park, Lex, Tim, and Grant are nestled in a tree. Lex is asleep in Grant's arms. Tim is trying to get comfortable as they sit in the branches high above the ground.
Dr. Grant, in my dreams, I always wanted to see a real T-Rex. But I never realized what it would really be like. I'm scared.
Grant reaches over and puts his hand on Tim's shoulder.
Timmy, so am I. I suppose that some things are better left just as dreams.
In the darkened control room, Hammond turns the master switch on. Nothing happens. Hammond pushes a power switch off, then on again. Still, nothing happens.
Why isn't it turning on?
Arnold pushes past him and turns off three safety switches.
Now try it. I turned off the safety switches.
Hammond turns on the main power switch again, and the room lights go on. The computer beeps, and the screens all come to life. The lines of electric fences start to light up. Arnold and Wu sigh in relief.
The perimeter fences are electrified again. Thank God.
God has nothing to do with it.
Hammond reaches for a phone, but it's still dead. No static, just nothing at all.
What's this? The phones are still out.